From KLW News in San Francisco, this is Cross Currents. Context, culture, and connection from around the Bay Area.
Near East Ridge.
Sunset.
Eastside. San Francisco.
Border of Vitas.
Coming up, we'll visit a Bay Area city that's increasingly run by volunteers.
Our staff really, we joke that we're support to the volunteers. You know, we're there to help them do what they do best.
We'll also hear a discussion about the meaning of success.
It has not changed me at all. What has changed is people's perception of who I am and what I'm about.
And an urban astronomer shares his thoughts on Sunday's Ring of Fire.
That will be, in our case here in the city, about a 90% eclipse, which is pretty good. So it's going to be very, very much a little thin crescent sun left behind, and most of it covered by the moon.
We'll be taking off today on Cross Currents. Austerity is being debated around the globe. Here in California, Governor Jerry Brown is trying to close a nearly $16 billion revenue gap in the budget. California's budget crisis has meant huge cuts in cities across the Bay Area. Pinole, a city of 18,000 in Contra Costa County, is no exception. Since 2008, Pinole's property tax revenue has fallen to about half of its former level. Sales tax revenue is down, too. As a result, the city's had to downsize, and volunteers are filling in the gaps. KLW's Mary Reese visited Pinole to find out how a city runs on free labor.
We're going to start up one lap freestyle to the best of your ability. Okay, so one lap freestyle to the best of your ability. One, ready, up.
On a May evening, the Pinole Seals Swim Club is hitting the water for their first night of practice in the season that almost wasn't.
Ready, up.
It's a popular pool, says Pinole resident Kiki Kasky.
The daycares that we send our kids, they go to the pool during the summer. All the camps in the area send their kids to this pool, the YMCA. Special Olympics uses this pool. It just, you go there and you get this feeling like it's summer and it feels good.
But that feeling of summer costs about $65,000 a year to maintain. And right now, that's money the city doesn't have. So last fall, when the Pinole City Council was looking for ways to balance this year's budget, cutting the swim center was on the list.
And I just thought, oh, it would be the worst thing ever if that pool closed. So that's why I really wanted to get involved.
Kasky did get involved, along with dozens of others, to organize, raise funds, and keep the pool open. And as of April, they'd raised most of what they needed. The city council agreed to kick in the balance, and the pool opened for another season.
Feels warm in here today.
Oh!
On the other side of town, at the Pinole Senior Center, a volunteer is running a beanbag baseball game.
Oh.
In the kitchen, five or six other volunteers cut vegetables for the midday meal. Volunteers also staff the front desk, run pledge drives, and organize monthly big band dances. In total, about 200 volunteers more or less run the senior center. Amy Wooldridge just ended 8 years as the Pinole Recreation Director.
For a senior center that has 1,400 members, we only have a little more than one and a half coordinators, paid coordinators, and it's really because of the volunteers. You know, our staff really, we joke that we're support to the volunteers. You know, we're there to help them do what they do best.
The Pinole Recreation Department oversees the swim center and the senior center. 5 years ago, it covered more than half its expenses through class fees and donations. The city budget paid the other 45%. But last year, it got just 5% of its budget from city coffers. This year, it won't get any. Instead, the entire $1.4 million recreation budget, including staff salaries and benefits, will be covered by fees, donations, and fundraising. Other departments in Pinole have also felt the pinch. The fire department had to close one of its two fire stations. Volunteers regularly fill in at the front desk of the police department, where two records clerks do the work that three used to do. The city can't pay to staff the community TV station full-time anymore, which has city council members worried that people won't be able to watch meetings. And at one elementary school, volunteer drama teacher Anna Smith teaches 400 students each week, all for free.
Every Luke is going to go, ah, with their right hand. Ready? One, two, three. Ah! That was amazing.
The school doesn't have anything like that. You know, the kindergarten teachers have to buy their own finger paints kind of situation.
In Pinole, volunteerism seems a way of life. Take the swim center, for example. When they heard it was going to close, they turned out in droves to raise money to keep it open. Again, Kiki Kasky.
Our first event was a garage sale, and I've never raised $2,000 at a garage sale before, but it seems that the donations were just flowing in. My garage was full within a couple weeks of taking donations from all of our neighbors and all of our friends and friends of friends and the parents from the kids at Ellerhorst Elementary, and everybody just showed up.
But Yvette Rico, another swim center volunteer, says the work isn't over.
One of the suggestions is that we do a bicycle fundraiser, a Tour de Pinole, because it's a great location for people to ride their bicycles, and it's beautiful. So if we can create a really good major event like this that everyone throughout the Bay Area can attend, we can rely on that money, we can sustain that, we can say to the city council, look at this. We are not going to have to come back every single year begging for money. We think we can do this on our own.
In that sense, Pinole is unique in the region. In nearby Albany, about the same size as Pinole, the city uses volunteers mostly to help with setting up, staffing, and breaking down one-day special events. Volunteers help out in the schools and in coaching youth sports, but they don't fill official city positions. So is the level of volunteer effort in Pinole sustainable? Phil Green, a Pinole City Council member, doubts it.
I think in the long haul, you have to have some type of funding that, because fundraisers, you get some of them that can run, that can fundraise for a year or 2 years, but pretty soon they start to say, hey, you know, we're getting a little tired of this.
Green would like to find other ways for the city to support itself and to fund the activities Pinole citizens want. One idea he has is to redirect franchise fees from big companies like Comcast and AT&T. Right now, city officials decide where that money gets spent. Green thinks that should change.
What I'm trying to do is say that, you know, maybe we, the citizens, as well as the council, start to direct some of that money to go to certain things that we as a city actually need, that we feel that's very important.
Green says he appreciates the work volunteers do to cover costs.
But to lay the whole burden upon them is a little bit unfair.
Still, the volunteers are dedicated. Again, Yvette Rico.
I'd like to live in a community that everyone feels they're really a part of something important and that they can work together, because too often there are multiple reasons to not work together and polarization. So anytime I can do something that makes the community more of a community, that's what I get out of it.
In Pinole, I'm Mary Reese for Cross Currents.
How is your city coping with the recession? You can let us know at our Facebook page. We're KLW News. Coming up, a new exhibit asks the question, what does it mean to succeed as a black man in America?
It has not changed me at all. What has changed is people's perception of who I am and what I'm about.
That's coming up on Cross Currents. This is Cross Currents. I'm Holly Kernan, and I'm here with Martina Castro, and we're here to invite you behind the scenes for just a moment before we go back to that piece about Question Bridge Black Males, which is from the Oakland Museum of California. And we wanted to talk to you about the way that we do this kind of community-engaged journalism that takes you all around the Bay into corners like Pinole, because we really are a community. We're neighbors, and we feel like we want to know what's happening with communities like Pinole, like San Francisco, like Daly City, like Richmond, all of these places that we, you know, we share this little 7 million people community. And what we try and do is make those connections, what's happening there and what's happening all around us, and then ask about innovations that are happening. How are people coping with this, right? So we try and lay all of that out for you every day here on Cross Currents. And I think that's one of the things that's really special about KALW.
You know, that piece is actually very emblematic of a segment that we like to do very often called Meet Your Neighbors. And I'm pretty new to the Bay Area. I've only been here for about 4 years, and I did not know anything about Pinole, I'll be honest. But it's incredibly inspiring to hear about how people responded in the face of this economic crisis, in the face of this recession, volunteers people dedicating their time, their free time to make ends meet and to make their community really strong. And that's definitely the kind of story we like to tell here at Cross Currents.
And, you know, Martina, one of our first beats, actually our first beat when we started this news department in 2004, was to tell stories about the growing gap between rich and poor and what was happening around that, because we felt like this was a huge, huge issue. And actually, we built this whole newsroom out of that, slowly expanding to cover other areas. But we really wanted to delve into what it meant to people and neighborhoods and communities and what was happening with that gap. And so we continue to revisit these stories. And sometimes they're stories of great hope and inspiration, you know. So you have this terrible budget gap, but you've got people stepping in and doing things about it. And that's what I love about this community. And it's what I love about public radio.
We are very dedicated to bringing that. And I feel really proud that we've stuck with it and didn't give in to, you know, there's some pretty gloomy stories about the economic edge, as we call it. And yet we can tell both sides, and definitely the side that impacts people.
And we're not afraid to tell the difficult stories about our communities, but we are always looking for people who are doing things, who are active, who have solutions, and who are innovative. And this is a very innovative community. It's a vibrant place.
Absolutely. And I think that our newsroom and this station reflects that. We are very dedicated to not losing sight of our heritage and our history, having been here for 70 years. But at the same time, we're always looking to improve and push forward and innovate, not only in the way that we run business, but also how we tell stories. And I think that pushing for people-focused storytelling like this, sound rich, and also enabling people from our community, like our volunteer Mary Reese, to tell those stories, is just exactly what we are all about.
And what I forgot to tell you, and we've only got 60 seconds before we go back to our next story from Cross Currents, is that we're in our spring membership campaign. We're trying to do it very, very gently, and just remind you that this is a partnership. So if you would call 1-800-525-9917 or go online to KALW.org. We are charged, Martina and I, with raising $2,000 in this hour, and we know we can do it because people do step up. When you ask and tell that there's a need and that there's this vital community interest, we know that you will respond to that because you listen and because you've told us you want us to do these pledge drives in a different way, and you want us to keep creating radio that brings us together. 1-800-525-9917 is the number to call, or go online to klw.org.
And when we say this is a listener-supported endeavor, we're not talking about somebody theoretical. we're literally talking to you, the person who's listening to this right now. And so please dig deep, but also don't feel pressured to give more than what you can. We understand, but every little bit counts. We want to raise $2,000.
And we do it one person at a time,
exactly,
$100 at a time,
exactly,
whatever fits your budget. Some people, we've had all kinds of people becoming new members this drive, giving $100. Some people have given $365, a dollar a day, $50, whatever fits your budget. But we need you to do it right now. We're going back to Cross Currents, 1-800-525-9917. You can get a Cross Currents t-shirt. We've got all kinds of thank you gifts online at klw.org. 15 seconds, Martina. We've got to get at least 20 people to the phones right now.
800-525-9917. Or if you're listening online, go to KALW.org.
And there's an additional incentive, which I forgot about. Carol Hafine and Sarah Kohlberg have put up a match. So every dollar that you contribute right now is $2. $2, I tell you. Actually, it's a dollar and $2,001 every dollar that you give, because we get an additional $2,000 if we reach our goal. We're going to go back to Cross Currents, but you can continue to call or click klw.org or 1-800-525-9917. And now let's go back to Cross Currents.
Older generations often want to impart lessons learned to those coming up. One Oakland-based project doesn't want to leave that exchange up to chance. Question Bridge, Black Males, is a video art installation that features over 150 black men from 11 American cities and towns. The men of all ages, classes, and sexual orientations take turns asking and answering questions on big life topics like love, family, and violence. The project aims to promote constructive dialogue between black men and the rest of the nation, but also to break down limiting stereotypes about black male identity. In this first of five installments, participants answer this question, posed by Anthony Troche.
Growing up, I've seen black people who have made it out, either financially or educationally, change who they are. And so my question is, how has your financial success or your educational success compromised who you feel that you are on the inside for what you feel that people want you to be?
I'd have to say the first answer is that I feel like I've compromised my membership in the black community. And it's not because I left the community or the community left me, but it's as if there's a zero-sum game, that the more successful a black man becomes, the less the community seems to embrace him. And it's also got a little bit to do with how that black man is defined by the non-black world. It's as if your success makes you other. An example of a conscious way that I did that is with a soul shake. I remember growing up in Dallas, Texas, and meeting my friends on the street. And you walk up to them and you give them a soul shake. I also remember the day that I stopped doing that on the courtyard in Harvard. I remember walking up to them instead of giving them a soul shake, giving them the corporate handshake. I remember walking through the hospital, the floors, and doing the same thing, being conscious that when I see my friends, I should just give them the corporate handshake. And you know, the disappointing thing was that one day, walking down the hall was a cardiothoracic surgeon who came up and soul shook me. The moral to the story is, don't try to be black, just be yourself. And by definition, you're black.
Imagine yourself being a knight and you're riding into battle. A knight has to put on his armor and a knight has to have his shield and sword. And for me, if you're going to go into a corporate environment, you can't go in a corporate environment the same way you would if you were going to your grandmother's house or if you were going to McDonald's or if you were just comfortable. There's a code and there's a shielding, a layer of protection that you need for all the harmful things that are going to be in all of those environments because they're equally treacherous. I just look at it as you have to be confident about who you are, know who you are, and just know that in certain environments, you have to dress a certain way. And the way that you speak is just about how relaxed you feel in those environments.
And I must say, it has not changed me at all. What has changed is people's perception of who I am and what I'm about. And what's in the black community has created a dilemma because we have the idea that for an individual who has succeeded is now not part of that community, but part of some other community that we believe we're not a part of.
On one hand, the reality is that when we get into these positions of power, we make people uncomfortable. So that's one thing on the one hand. On the other hand, in all different types of professions, there are certain things that you have to do in order to be successful. There are certain ways that you have to be. But there's a difference between adapting to different situations and being in a hostile environment because you are black. So I haven't changed who I am. I've gained new skills. I can adapt to many different situations, but I am still me. I am still me at the end of the day. And I'm not afraid to be that.
There's a thing in this world called maturity. It's something that's kind of undervalued in the black community today because people seem to be centered around this idea of what I call ghetto centricity. That is, the ghetto is the center of all black expression, which is a very recent phenomenon and a very divisive one. Because the truth is, everyone evolves. No one stays the way they were when they were 18, 19, 20. If they did, they wouldn't be human. I don't know what they would be. As black people, as black men, we need to be in the process of evolution. It cannot be about, there's no ultimate blackness. There's no ultimate black street credibility. There's who you are then, what works for you at that moment, and then who you become next and who you become next and who you become next. You take everything that you've ever had, ever happened to you, and you keep adding on top of it. And that's life.
You just heard from Tony Brown, Julian O'Connor, Alex Morgan, and Ronald Porter. The installation Question Bridge, Black Males, is on view at the Oakland Museum of California through July 8th. It was put together by African-American artists Chris Johnson and Hank Willis Thomas in collaboration with Biate Ross Smith and Kamal Sinclair. Its sponsors include the Bay Area Video Coalition and the Open Society Institute. For a list of the rest of the project's sponsors and information on how to get involved, go to questionbridge.com, or you can find links at klw.org. Coming up, there's a rare eclipse happening Sunday, and the urban astronomer is here to tell us all about it.
That will be, in our case here in the city, about a 90% eclipse, which is pretty good. So it's going to be very, very much a little thin crescent sun left behind, and most of it covered by the moon.
Stay tuned for Cross Currents.
I'm Holly Kernan, and you're listening to Cross Currents, and I'm here with Martina Castro, and we're just taking a quick break from the show to take you behind the scenes just a little bit. And Martina, I was so moved listening to those men. It was like you were getting to listen in on this intimate conversation, and those are the kinds of conversations and voices we try to bring you every day. And when I went to the Oakland Museum of California and I saw this video installation, I sat there for about an hour and a half watching these conversations, and I thought, I want to bring this to our audience. I want us to, you know, let's bring this to as many people as possible.
I'm so glad you have that
instinct. It's radio. Yeah, and so we went to the Oakland Museum of California, who are partners of ours, and said, hey, do you think that we could excerpt some of this for the radio? And because they're our community partners, they said, of course, yes.
Yeah, we would have never had that chance had it not been for that partnership. As so many stories come to us through the various partnerships we have, not only in Oakland, but in Berkeley, and many student organizations and community service organizations bring us these types of stories and voices, and it's just so
powerful.
Heartening and inspiring,
absolutely. Mm-hmm. And it's what makes us great, because we have all of these different people out in community to give us their stories and to make us stronger and to bring as many slices of this place, this Bay Area that we all call our home, and that we share to as many people as possible. And that's one of the things I love about KALW and Cross Currents in particular, is really we try to go into as many corners as possible and bring as many important conversations to light as we possibly can. And we're just here for a couple of minutes before we go back to more stories to invite you into this partnership, to invite you to become a member of KALW. You can do it at any level that works for your budget, but we're asking you to do it right now. Today is our penultimate day for Cross Currents.
That's right.
That's my favorite word, everybody. I'm going to say it again. It's our penultimate day for you to become a member to support Cross Currents. 1-800-525-9917.
Or you can go online at KALW.org. You know, we don't come to you that many times a year. This is a very unique opportunity for you to get in touch with us. This is how we hear from you that you appreciate this type of storytelling. It's with any contribution you can make. And if you look online, there are a lot of incentives, a lot of gifts that you can get in return. Actually, at the $50 level, which is the basic membership, you could get a DVD of an event that we sponsored and brought to the Bay Area, which was a lecture from Tavis Smiley and Cornel West about their current book, The Rich and the Rest of Us.
It was way better than a lecture. That brought down the house.
That was like a rally. It was pretty amazing.
We were at the Paramount Theater in Oakland with couple thousand community members talking about poverty in America and what do we do to solve it. And we invited all kinds of community partners to be there to talk about what they're doing in community. And if that's important to you, that we do these kinds of community brainstorms.
And dialogues.
Mm-hmm. If that's important to you, you can call us right now at 1-800-525-9917. If you'd like to get the book, Smiley and West, The Rich and the Rest of Us, at a $75 level or above, the DVDs, a $50 level or above, and both are $120 or above. 1-800-525-9917.
Or online at KALW.org. And if you really break down how much that is per moment that you turn on the radio, it's pennies. It's pennies. But every little bit counts here.
That's how we do it.
That's how we do it. And that conversation that we had with Tavis and Cornel West is very similar to what you just heard from the Question Bridge installation. It's this promotion of dialogue and putting words to the problems that we're facing and starting to talk about them together.
And now, Martina, we've got to go back to the program, but there is a slight bit of urgency because we have a challenge here.
That's right.
We have to raise $2,000, and that means we need at least 20 people to call. Now, we're lucky that the phones are ringing, but I see that there's an open line. We can't have that happen and continue to bring you the pledge drives the way that we are. We've really got to ask you to step up and be part of our community. 1-800-525-9917. Or online at klw.org. Contribute what works for your budget.
It only works if you call. Everybody's saying they love this, that we're not doing these extended pledge breaks, but it only works if you still call and still donate. We still have to raise the same amount of money.
I see two open lines, Martina.
Please,
we've got 10 seconds, literally
step
10
up
seconds.
And take this as your moment. 800-525-9917 or online at klw.org.
And you can continue to call as we go back to Cross Currents. We need you to do this so that we can meet that goal. So remember, if you donate $100 right now, that's $2,100 because we get this extra match if we can reach this goal. 1-800-525-9917 or klw.org. Lots of thank you gifts, but the main reason is because you listen and you want community, independent, local radio. 1-800-525-9917. And now let's go back to Cross Currents.
It's only once a year that you can experience almost complete darkness in the afternoon sky. And it's even more rare that you can listen to Johnny Cash sing about it at the same time.
And it makes a fiery ring.
This Sunday, the western United States will experience a solar eclipse. But in a special path across Northern California, the moon will be almost fully enclosed by the disk of the sun, creating a ring of fire effect.
I fell into a burning ring of fire. I went down.
To learn more about the science behind the spectacle, we talked to our local expert.
Hi, this is Paul Salazar. I'm the urban astronomer.
Salazar is a member of the San Francisco Amateur Astronomers, and he keeps a regular blog, The Urban Astronomer. He spoke with KALW's Ben Trefney about where and when to see the solar eclipse in the Bay Area.
And it burns, burns, burns.
And how to view it without burning your eyes.
We get to have a very beautiful alignment of the sun, the moon, and the earth, in which the disk of the moon, as it's covering the sun, will appear fully engulfed inside the body of the sun. And so it's in a way, you've seen that we have partial eclipses. Those are more common. You know, you can get a partial eclipse. And in fact, when this happens on May 20th, there will be a partial eclipse visible from San Francisco, from really much of the United States. That will be, in our case here in the city, about a 90% eclipse, which is pretty good. So it's going to be very, very much a little thin crescent sun left behind, and most of it covered by the moon. But when you have this unusual alignment, if you travel a couple hundred miles north of here into the Shasta and Redding area, or let's say out to Reno, there you're going to see that full annular effect where the moon appears to be encircled by the sun.
So what does that photosphere of the sun look like on the outside? Because if it were really a ring of fire, then I could see flames shooting out, or maybe in an exaggeration of it. What would it really
be? I guess maybe a ring of fire is over-marketing the event, right? Because you're not going to see the flames shooting out the side. It's just going to be an absolutely brilliant ring edge. Now, through specialized telescopes that allow you to see those little flames, if you will, what are called prominences, shooting out the side of the sun's limbs. It takes about an hour and 15 minutes for the moon from when it first touches the edge, it's called first contact, until it's all the way at its deepest part of the eclipse. So it's a wonderful thing to watch. It's a gradual process, and it has different phases to it. First touch to the middle to the last touch takes about 2.5 hours.
So this annular eclipse, the best viewing will be a bit north of the San Francisco Bay Area. Where are the very best nearby viewing sites, would you say, all things considered?
If you just go up Interstate 5 or up Interstate 99, there's going to be a lot of places near Redding, near Shasta, just north of Chico will be a pretty good spot. Into the Lassen National Park will be an excellent area. And then as you move The shadow of the moon casts down across the Earth, and it moves in a southeasterly pattern in this case. So places like Reno, Nevada, will be quite good. The only other factor you have to really think about is weather, because obviously you want to go somewhere where you have an extremely high likelihood of clear skies, and also you're looking straight to the west. This is going to happen late in the day. It's going to have that first contact at about 5:15 in the afternoon, and it's going to reach that peak roughly 6:30 p.m. So you've got to have a spot where you can look to the west. There aren't mountains, hills, or other sorts of natural issues to worry about. And you need crystal clear skies, ideally.
So maybe not the San Francisco Bay Area, even if
it's,
you want
it's risky. It's risky, right, yeah.
But this is a big enough deal that you're not going to stick around here. You're going to go
heading north. That's right.
Where are you
going to
go?
We're going up to the Mount Shasta Resort. So we've put together, this is the, now I'm speaking on behalf of the San Francisco Amateur Astronomy Club. We've put together a road trip. We call it the Ring of Fire Road Trip, and we're all packing our bags and heading north for the day, and we're going to set up shop in the Shasta area, and it's open to the public. People can go to the San Francisco Amateur Astronomers website and sign up online. No cost. You just show up, take part. There'll be some speakers giving talks in advance. We'll have many telescopes out there, and it'll be a chance to be with the crowd. And I've been to several eclipses. I've found it to be much more fun when you're with a big group. But I do want to spend a moment and talk about safety. A solar eclipse is a dangerous thing if you aren't prepared for it. And you really do have to take a moment and prepare by purchasing or somehow acquiring a safe solar filter. And that's not just a bunch of sunglasses stacked together or old film or something like that. Those are not safe. You have to get something which is really designed for staring directly at the sun. And you can buy those. There's a great shop in San Francisco called Scope City. There's a guy named Sam that I know very well. He runs the place, and he's got hundreds of pairs of these glasses available, and they're cheap. We're talking $2 or $3 for a pair of cardboard glasses that are going to be safe to stare at the sun. But it's worth the time and effort now to equip yourself so when the big day comes, you can enjoy it.
That's Paul Salazar. He's the urban astronomer. Cardboard glasses. So how does that work?
Well, cardboard, you know, not quite like what they used to have in 3D movies. You know, mm-hmm. just a little thing, disposable glasses.
Oh, and it has just a
film. It has the Mylar piece in the middle that's been properly equipped to cut down the brightness of the sun to a safe viewing level.
Is it possible to make one of those yourself?
Again, I would be very suspect with the glass part's the most important thing, or the Mylar sheet. For example, you can use welder's glass, but you have to get what's called a shade 14. It's what arc welders use. Arc welding apparently is as bright as the sun.
So you could put on one of those welder's masks.
You absolutely could, and you'd be totally safe then. That's it. You wouldn't even get a sunburn. That's the best way to see it.
To just wear one of those all over the place.
And every day. It'd be kind of a novel thing here in the city. You know. But no. But seriously, you really do have to think about that. Prepare for it. There's some good online resources. You can order them online right now. As the day of the eclipse draws near, it might be harder to get them delivered on time.
But regular sunglasses are not sufficient.
Definitely not. No. I mean, what happens is the sun, of course, besides the extreme intensity of brightness, is also sending infrared rays. And if those are not properly filtered, then those warm the inside of your eye. And it really does give you permanent damage. It's an extremely serious thing. So when you do see an eclipse, as beautiful as it is, you have to do it under the right circumstances with the right equipment.
What do you think it is that it does to the human soul to see a celestial event like this happen? It's
such a broad range. There's an entirely separate group that's going to be meeting at the Mount Shasta Resort in parallel with all of us amateur astronomy geeks. And they are there purely for the spiritual experience of being in the shadow of the moon. And I'm interested to hear what they have to say about it as much as for them to come out and share with us what we have to say about it. When we're all there together, kind of two groups colliding in the same cosmic spot for a good reason, because we're all there to see this thing happen in the sky that, you know, preordains that if you stand in the right spot on May 20th, the shadow of the moon will pass over you. And I think it's a profoundly moving experience.
That's San Francisco urban astronomer Paul Salazar speaking with KALW's Ben Trefney. Sunday's annual eclipse is not the only solar spectacle you can observe in the next month. You can visit KALW's website to hear the urban astronomer talk about the transit of Venus. On June 16th, Venus will pass directly between the Earth and the Sun, and
you're going to see the disk of the Sun with a little black circle. Beautiful, sharp, round dot, like someone took a dot of ink and splashed it on the Sun. And it made a beautiful, perfect circle.
And coming up, the science of sound.
We encourage people that if they're driving down the highway and they see some sewer system being put in along the side of the road, that they just pull their car over and they get out and they start yelling and clapping into the sewer pipes.
Stay tuned for more Cross Currents. Yelling and clapping into the sewer pipes. That is us at KALW. I'm Holly Kernan, and I'm here with Martina Castro. She is the editor, managing editor of Cross Currents. And we're here just for a quick moment to remind you that we're inviting you to become a member. This is our spring membership campaign. We're trying to do it in a sort of gentle way, but we're inviting you to become a member of this station and support this programming. And that was just such a delightful interview about the spiritual aspects of the solar eclipse. And it was just delightful. And that's what we try and bring you every day here.
800-525-9917 is where you can call and become a member of this profoundly moving experience. Paul Salazar, the urban astronomer, was describing the eclipse this Sunday as such. And I loved hearing Ben ask him what it does to the human soul to watch such a thing. And I can promise you that it will move your soul to call and become a member of this community radio station. 800-525-9917. Call and your soul will thank you for it.
KALW.org. Your soul is asking you to call 1-800-525-9917. Martina, I have some good news and some bad news.
Uh-oh.
So we've gotten a few calls. We're getting toward that goal of $2,000 and 20 calls. And one listener said, I listen to a lot of radio, and KALW is doing some of the best radio I've ever heard. You folks are really showing the potential of objective, ethical radio. Another listener said, fine international, national, and local programming, especially the local news and local human interest stories. And somebody else wrote in and said, it's just a wonderful, happy little station. KALW warms my heart.
Aww.
Now, that's the good news. The more challenging news is that we still have about more than $1,000 to raise, more than at least 10 calls in this break, which is only 60 seconds long. So we really need your help. The way that we bring you this radio every day is by your contributions, be it 100 or 500 or 50, whatever works for you. 1-800-525-9917. We've got a room full of volunteers and we need to get those phones ringing. Martina, ring, make those phones ring.
I wish I could do it by myself, but the point is that we can't. We have to do it with your help. And we're talking to you, no theoretical listener out there with no name and no face. All these people have faces, have names. Two very generous listeners with names have actually put up a challenge grant.
Carol Hafine and Sarah Kohlberg have put up $700 to challenge you so that if we can make this goal of $2,000, we get extra money.
But I hope what also inspires you is that we're trying to do things a little differently and not, you know, talk your ear off about why this is important. Just tell you a couple times and keep the programming intact and ask you to just go to the phone, 800-525-9917. That's all it takes.
And we have a room full of volunteers, but we need your help to make this equation. You are the ones who produce this radio. This is a station that is almost entirely from contributions from listeners like you. 1-800-525-9917. And right now I have an extra incentive since we were talking about road trips, the Ring of Fire road trips. Here is another road trip for a donation of $150 or more. You can get a pair of tickets to Blue Ocean Whale Watch in Moss Landing.
Wow.
Climb on board and prepare yourself for one of the coolest things you'll ever do. Sightings in May through November include humpback whales, blue whales, orcas, and several species of dolphins and porpoise seals, sea lions, and otters. Now, that's for a contribution of $150 or more. You'll get two tickets to Blue Ocean Whale Watch in Moss Landing. 1-800-525-9917. We've got 10 more seconds left before we go back to this wonderful piece about the audiophiles, Martina.
That's 800-525-9917, or you can go online to kalw.org to make our goal this hour before the end of the show. That means you're going to have to keep clicking and calling during the program.
I see an open line.
So do it right now. 800-525-9917. Thank you so much.
I think we've got two open lines. 1-800-525-9917 or KALW.org. You can continue to call as we go back to Cross Currents. And now we'll dig into our archives for an installment of our interview series about sound. This is the audio files.
You hear that?
Can you hear me?
It's incredible.
So far in our series of conversations about sound, we've taken you to the planetarium of the California Academy of Sciences and to the unique San Francisco Sound Theater called Audium. For this segment of Audio Files, KALW's Martina Castro takes us to a playground for sound in one corner of San Francisco. As long as you're not driving, she asks you to close your eyes and imagine you've walked into a diner.
So you're in a diner and you go up to the jukebox, throw in your quarter and pick a random song. Sounds like a pretty cool song, right? Well, listen closely.
I'm sure we've all had days like that, haven't we?
Okay, so this is clearly not a regular jukebox, and we're not in a diner. The woman you just heard is...
Pamela Winfrey, and I'm a senior artist here at the Exploratorium.
That's right, the Exploratorium. That's actually where I've taken you. Pamela designed this strange jukebox for an exhibition here called Listen. It's where you can explore all the facets of how we interact with the world through sound, like with a normal old jukebox.
But then we put in stuff that you would never hear in a million years. And what you realize in jukeboxes is you hear the same stuff all the time. Here you will never hear, you probably have never heard this stuff. And it just shows you how rich and varied the musical experience could be.
Pamela worked with a whole team of scientists and artists to design this exhibition. There are booths where you can share your favorite sound memories, see what a sound wave looks like, and play with rhythm on a ton of musical instruments. And the man who brought this all together...
My name is Thomas Humphrey, and I'm a senior scientist at the Exploratorium.
Thomas told me it all started with a simple concept.
Attentive listening. To be an attentive listener. What is it really like to listen to something?
To really listen to something. That's what I wanted to explore. So I asked Thomas to take me on a little tour of the exhibition to see what kinds of things you can discover through your ears.
I think I would like to go off and to listen to some sort of confusing sounds to begin with.
Sounds great.
I soon find out that Tom isn't kidding when he says confusing.
You hear that?
Yeah, okay. I hear that.
This warehouse of gadgets and gizmos is like a virtual library of sounds. Some of them are musical. Some kind of irritating.
Colossally irritating sound.
Yeah, it's pretty irritating.
And as he said, totally confusing. Like this jumbled reading of Little Red Riding Hood.
Ladle Rat Rotten Hut. Once upon term... Dare worsted ladle gull who lift.
No way. There's no way I would know what this is about.
Some sounds you make yourself.
This is something that, whoa, you can really hear when I talk in there. Can you hear my voice? I can't avoid having that happen. This is a really, really long tube. It's made of galvanized metal, and it stretches from where we are on the mezzanine of the Exploratorium up into the rafters, and it goes about 180 feet, so it's very, very long. And there are some things that happen. For example, if I just clap into it... So some things you can tell about that. One is that something comes back, and there's a discernible amount of time before it comes back, so it's taken some time to go up and back. And the other one is that the sound that goes in and the sound that comes out do not sound the same. The one that goes in is my clap, like this, and what comes back goes, meow, like that.
Why? Why is that?
A sound like a clap that lasts for a very short period of time actually contains lots of frequencies. So it's not like one pure tone, many, many frequencies. And those frequencies, there's a whole broad band of them, they travel up and down the tube with different speeds. So the high frequencies come back first, and the low frequencies come back later. And so it goes from high to low when it comes back.
The spirit of this exhibition, and really the whole museum, is to play with what Tom Humphrey calls your perceptual mechanisms.
One of the ways that we find out how our perceptual mechanisms work, like hearing and seeing and taste and smell and all of that, is when we discover ways to make them not work so well. If we kind of confuse them, like with optical illusions or auditory illusions, that gives us great inroads into understanding how does that system really work, because that system wasn't so good for this, right? I got fooled in some ways.
The exhibit that most blew my mind was one called Soundbite. It consists of a metal rod sticking out of a box. You actually bite down on this rod while plugging your ears. And then, all of a sudden...
And I hear hip-hop with my teeth. I didn't know that I could listen to things with my teeth, but apparently that's exactly what I can do. I'm going to do it again.
That's Seth Samuel, one of the engineers at CrossCurrents. He joined me and a bunch of other KALW folks on a volunteer appreciation outing to the Exploratorium.
That is so wild. Wow. It feels like when people talk about having radio receptors in their brain where they can pick up signals from outer space.
Your call producer, Ali Budner, was also there. And even though she and Seth like the Soundbite exhibit, another one called Out Quiet Yourself is what really caught our group's attention.
All right, can you describe what's happening here, Allie?
Okay, so there's a narrow booth, and there's gravel lining the floor.
And there's sensors measuring the sound you produce. The idea is to walk as lightly and quietly as possible, so the sensors don't feel you. The lower your score, the better. Allie goes first.
Here goes.
Allie gets a 12.9. which looks pretty good after Seth scores a 64.5. But it's not as good as reporter Erica Moo's 6.5. Then engineer Chris Hoff steps up.
I'll get at least 6.4.
Chris always wins. Every game.
A 0.7.
Why? Why?
That's what I'm talking about.
I bet I can get a higher number.
Once again, I win.
Way to go, Chris.
Poor Erica in my moment of triumph.
So there was one exhibit left to check out. The jam room.
All right. This is what a KALW jam session sounds like. Who's starting it off?
This room is full of xylophones and marimbas that are set up to play a pentatonic scale. That means there are five notes on each of these instruments, and there's no combination of those notes that would sound bad to our ear. I'll let Tom Humphrey explain.
What's wonderful about the pentatonic scale is that you can't make a mistake in terms of the sound. So I'm just going to randomly play this thing. I'm going to use two mallets. I'm going to move around and just play two bars together and then two different ones and two different ones. That sounds okay, right?
And yeah, that's really pleasant.
The Listen exhibition at San Francisco's Exploratorium brings the beauty of sound into focus. And as Tom says, without paying attention to that sense, you're missing out on a lot of what the world has to offer.
Any of those gerunds, you know, like listening and seeing and smelling and tasting, they are the way that we begin our relationship with the world. It all begins that way. You know, you want to relate with the world somehow, if it's between two people or between you and the sunset or whatever. I mean, there's some kind of observational thing that's going on. And that's just the beginning. And if you don't do that, I mean, if you are sort of insensate and you don't really observe the world and you don't take it in, you're probably not going to go very far.
You can hear all of the pieces in our award-winning audio file series at our website. It's kalw.org. That's also where you can subscribe to our podcast. This is Cross Currents. I'm Holly Kernan with Martina Castro, who produced that delightful piece that just was
bringing the beauty of sound into focus for all of us.
Thank you, Holly.
It really took you there. I mean, it was as if we were all there in the room with you. And by the way, everybody, Martina is the award-winning producer of The Audiophile. She was awarded by the Northern California Society of Professional Journalists for her incredible work, which she brings to us on Cross Currents. We are so lucky to have you, Martina Castro.
Oh, thank you so much. My purpose with that piece really was to bring the beauty of our team alive. I don't know if you noticed, but I did feature many of our staff members. And I hope you can see the collegiality that we have, and that sort of enthusiasm for exploring our relationship with the world is what I hope inspires you, yes, you listener right there, to call 800-525-9917 and become a member of that.
Join us. Join us in this delight. Join us in this radio-making production that we do every single day here on Cross Currents. And, you know, we're talking about the team. She sort of introduces you to the team and also captures the creative flavor that we have here at KALW and at Cross Currents. And it's a fun place, and we wanted to share with you some facts about KALW that you might not otherwise know.
One time our softball team won a game.
We have a Latvian correspondent.
We're the only news department that writes and performs songs for everyone's birthday on staff.
We have a microwave.
We're the only public radio station with a scuba diver for a mascot.
KALW is the only station I know of where the news department works off of a pool table.
We're on top of one of the steepest hills in San Francisco.
Our radio station is in the back of a high school, and we need a hall pass to go to the bathroom.
That's right. Those are some things you might not know about KALW, but here's what you do know. This is a partnership. What we do is thanks to you, your membership, one person at a time. And we're really close to our goal, Martina. We just have a few, couple of minutes, couple of seconds, really, to make it to that goal. We need 10 more people to either go to KALW.org or go to 1-800-525-9917. I almost forgot that number. Unbelievably.
How could you? 800-525-9917. We want to amp up the urgency here because if you call right now, it's saying that you appreciate Cross Currents and the programming you just heard. Of course, call anytime, but
Please call now.
We'll still take it. But right now would be particularly great for us because it says to us that you appreciate the storytelling you just heard. 800-525-9917 or online at KALW.org. The clicks count too.
Oh, and I wanted to add my fun fact that people might not know about KALW, and that's this. We have a fork deficit here at KALW. I don't understand it. We have spoons and we have knives, but the forks disappear every single day.
We're really laying it bare here for you folks. 800-525-9917. Show your vulnerability or give us a sense of how much you appreciate it at 800-525-9917.
You'll be joining David Anderson of Half Moon Bay, who stepped up and became a member. Thank you, David. Arlie Lewis of San Carlos, who became a member. Thank you, Arlie. Jeanette of Palo Alto. Deb James. Tomar Mason. Thank you all for becoming members and for helping us get to this goal. We have, I see an open phone line, 1-800-525-9917. We really need to make this goal and you can make it happen. I've got a testimonial from one of our volunteers, but before I get to that, Martina, we should tell people that right now, for a contribution of $70 or above, we'll send you a pair of passes to the Exploratorium,
which
was featured in that piece.
That's right. So you heard how fun that is, that place can be. And the listen exhibit is still up. That piece was produced a little bit ago, but that exhibit is still up and still open. And you can go there right now for a pledge of $70
or above, whatever you can afford at $70 or above. Maybe you can afford $100, maybe $120. We'll send you a pair of passes to the Exploratorium. They're good through October. 1-800-525-9917 is the number to call. Oh, I see an open line. 1-800-525-9917. 1-800-525-9917. We are so close to making this goal, Martine. I think we need like five more calls. 1-800-525-9917. Online, you can see a bazillion. I think that's the accurate number.
Absolutely.
I'm saying the precise number.
Exactly, bazillion.
About a bazillion thank you gifts possible at kalw.org. Go there casually, decide what you like, or call us 1-800-525-9917.
These are all incentives to get you to call, to pick up the phone, to want to give back. But I think that the best incentive in the world is to just know that you've done something to make this possible. And it really, we really mean that when we say that. We count on listener donations, I think up to 75%.
Yeah, more than 75%, which is atypical for a public radio station, Martina. And I want to also remind everybody we've got a challenge from longtime supporters Carol Hafeen and Sarah Kohlberg. They have put up $700 to incentivize you to become a member. 1-800-525-9917.
Or online at kalw.org. And it's great to, I love that we are saying these people's names because
they're real people.
They're real people, as are we, and as you are.
Well, you're real.
Okay. We are. As you heard in that exploratorium piece, we are kind of taking down the curtain because we want you to understand that this is just made by your community. That's all of us
okay,
that make this possible.
We have only seconds to go. Let's hear from it. This is a big community, and a lot of the people who make this radio possible are our volunteers. Let's hear from one of them about why they are part of this mix.
Hi, my name is Nina Gensler-Debs, and I'm a volunteer at KALW. People have always told me that I sound exactly like Ira Glass. So knowing that I was meant to be a radio celebrity, I started volunteering at KALW. As it turned out, I have a lot to learn before I get rich and famous off of a career in public radio. In all seriousness, though, it's really incredible how much every single person at the station knows about, everything. Every person here is so engaged in what they're doing, and it's impossible to not be caught up in the energy at the station. It's such a great asset to both the people who listen and the people who work here, and the people who work here for free. So get involved, and you'll get as much joy out of it as every single one here. I don't know. I need to record that last part again.
And that was one of our volunteers, Nina, talking about being a volunteer here and just talking about this community that we have. And you're part of that community. And we make delightful, engaging, informative, thoughtful radio every day that takes you from this big range, going from economic important issues to also just the delight and the art and the inspiration and innovation all around us. If that matters to you, we have 45 seconds to get four more people to either go to the web or the phone. 1-800-525-9917. 30 seconds, Martina.
Or kalw.org. As you heard, Nina works for free. She gives us her time, her very valuable time, but we also count on your valuable dollars and monetary contribution to run this station. Now is the moment you could.
It looks like we need three more people.
800-525-9917 or online at kalw.org.
Okay, I see one phone it has just got picked up. I think we need two more calls. 1-800-525-9917. We're going to Fresh Air. You can continue to call or go online, kalw.org.